Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Rich Sear is a stand-up comedian, an author, podcaster, and will be part of the audio theater radio program Nutmeg Junction, which will be airing in April 2018. Sear has traveled extensively throughout the Northeast, providing his unique brand of humor and commentary. That commentary will now be preserved and expanded upon in his upcoming podcasts, including The Claws Corner. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Rich Sear here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, Rich Sear.
Well, thank you, JT, and thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. It is a pleasure. You know, we were just here in this studio at WAPJ 40 Water Street in Torrington. We were just here last week because we were recording episodes of a show called Nutmeg Junction.
Yes, which I want to thank you for having me a part of it. It is so much fun.
Exactly. It is such a great honor to have somebody of your caliber as well to be a part of the program. Your comedy stylings is wonderful. That's why you have been such a successful stand-up comedian. So glad to have you on board, so to speak. It's a trolley-inspired show, so as we move on down the track on that particular program. But today on Nutmeg Chatter, what I wanted to focus on are the things that you will be pursuing in 2018. It can include that, but also there are so many other facets to what you do. You're an author and you're a podcaster as well.
Yes.
So I'd like to get into that first. So tell me, first of all, about your authorship, your writing styles, and how did that come about?
Okay, well, this goes back when I was in fourth grade. I've always had a love of writing, and believe it or not, people that know me would never believe this, but I was severely shy. So I had a teacher that was trying to get me to become more extroverted, and I loved writing. So she enrolled me in a writing class. I said, I really don't want to be a part of that. I just didn't want to, you know, I was way too shy for that. So I was sort of forced into it. But I loved it, and I started writing, and as a kid, I would write different stories. And I sort of put that in the back burner for a while. I tried other things. I was in radio for a while. I did public access TV. I was in bands. So whatever she did definitely worked, helped me come out of my shell.
Wow.
So not too long ago, as you were saying, I do stand-up comedy. I was doing a comedy show, and somebody approached me. He goes, Rich, I love your comedy. I work at a place called Abilities Beyond. And I think you would be great for my students, a great inspiration for them. Can you come and talk to them? So I was speaking with them, and they were saying, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. I said, well, what's stopping you? And I was going back and forth with the students, and one of them said, I always wanted to be a writer. So afterwards, I sat down, I was speaking with the student, and she was telling me about an app called Wattpad. And I said, what's that? She said, oh, it's where you can go and you can write and you can publish stories. I said, you know what? I like that. And it's sort of ignited the writing bug for me again. So I said, let me check it out. So I wrote a story. It was received very well. Then I wrote another story. They're all short stories, which you can find on Wattpad.com. So right now I'm up to 5 stories. And what I'm trying to do is because I want to publish them on Amazon Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I'm in the works of trying to figure out how to, because I have to put it into Word format. There's a lot of different things. But anyway, so I have 5 stories, which I want to put into one book and have it self-published. That's my goal for right now, but then I have plenty of other ideas I want to put pen to paper, so to speak, and that's what I've been working on now.
Now, those stories, they even though you're a stand-up comedian, those stories aren't stand-up material. Actually, they're actually prose. They're
yes.
of a special nature, correct?
Yes. What it is, they're all fictional stories, and, I mean, I love all genres of movies, music, etc., but these stories are more on the horror side, but there's also some comedic, I would call it like a dark comedy, a lot of these stories. I mean, there's definitely the horror part, but there's drama, and there's also the fun in it, too. So it's, I mean, so far it's been very well received, and I have no plans of stopping anytime soon.
What do you like best about the aspect of writing, and how does it differ from writing the jokes for your stand-up?
Well, with writing stories, I love having an idea in my head and bringing it to life. That's probably the best part is at the end going, you know, something that I was just thinking about and then looking at the finished product and wow, this is, you know, I was able to like take this one idea and make characters that people actually care about, which I've been told before. And with comedy, it's more instant gratification. I write the jokes and I get on stage and it works and I find out immediately if it works or if it doesn't work. With writing, you don't really know who's reading it, who will respond to it, and how they will take it. So it's there. That's the difference for me.
Yeah, okay. Well, in terms of stand-up, what were some of the seminal moments in your career, the things that brought you to the stand-up or the things that was important to you as far as the stand-up career?
All right, so stand-up, I really never even thought about it. I mean, I was always told, oh, Rich, you're funny, you'd be great on stage, this and that. And I never really thought about it. And then one day, my friend and I, we were working on a documentary. Mm-hmm. And it was a funny subject, but at the year that we were doing that, which was probably 2013, there was a documentary on the same subject that won an Oscar. And I said, all right, well, let's just scrap that idea just because even though we had no idea that was going on, it would seem like, oh, we're just, you know, riding that coattail and trying to copy that, which was not the case. So my friend said, you know what, I always wanted to try stand-up comedy. I said, well, you know what, if you go down there and do it, I'll go down there, I'll write a couple jokes, I'll support you. So I just wrote a couple jokes, not even thinking about it, just let me have some fun. So there's an open mic at the Funny Bone in Manchester, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great comedy club. Check it out if you have a chance. They always have great headliners down there. So I went on stage. After that first laugh, I was hooked. So I started writing a little bit more, going to more open mics at Joker's Wild, which unfortunately no longer exists. It used to be on Worcester Street in New Haven. That was a great club. And then it just kept on going and going. And I have cerebral palsy. So originally I started just writing topical humor. I found out that gets boring very quickly because what's happening right now, I write a joke about it. By the time I get it to the mic on stage, it's already old news. And people are like, oh, that was last week. So I said, let me talk more about myself. And I did. And it got some laughs. I'm like, wait a minute, I could definitely expand on this. So what I started doing originally was just because I like self-deprecating humor. So then everybody, instead of getting laughs, people were going, oh, I said, no, I'm not an inspirational speaker. I'm a comedian. I want you to laugh. So then I turned it around and I said, let me talk about the good things, why I have cerebral palsy, you know, the positive aspect of having cerebral palsy. And then people were saying, ah, that's funny. They felt more comfortable laughing at me because I was actually being more confident. But I mean, I was always confident, but just the self-deprecating humor people were taking a little too seriously. Now I was saying, like, I'm the lucky one here. I'm the one who has cerebral palsy. Look at you. I would hate to have two normal hands like that. And then I would just tell them why I would, you know, why I loved having it. And then that caught on. So what I started doing was, I mean, I love the DIY, do it yourself. So I networked a lot, started booking shows, and I found the best thing to do was book benefits. People love, you know, laughing, and they also love, you know, supporting a good cause. So
sure.
There was Relay for Life. I did 3 or 4 shows with them. And then there was 2 shows for the veterans, which went very well. And every show I did became bigger and bigger and bigger. The last 3 I did were sold out. And I just expanded upon that. And people saw me online. And they said, well, Rich, you want to play my club? You want to play my club? So there was a time at the busiest in my comedy career where I was doing 4 states a week. When I was starting Connecticut, then go to Rhode Island, then go to Massachusetts, then go to New York. So I don't really do it as much anymore. I've been concentrating more on the writing, and then we'll get into the podcast later. But, you know, I have no regrets. I enjoyed every second of it. And if somebody wants me to do a show, I'll probably get back up on stage. I'm not ruling out the possibility.
That's fantastic. And just to clarify, you said that people felt more comfortable laughing at you. I think they were laughing with you and laughing with the experience,
yes.
Of course. And you know what? Chances are, it sounds to me like when you started writing and you were writing some comedy that was very topical, it the time that it took to get the topical joke out to a microphone, that time frame was too long. But when you have a podcast, you have the opportunity to get that thought process out right away. So, you know, when we come back from our first break, we'll talk about podcasting in general, and then we'll talk about your upcoming programs on, you know, your network and the programs that you want to build. So we'll be back in just a few moments with Rich Sear here on Nutmeg Chatter. Back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is comedian, author, and podcaster Rich Sear. In the first segment, we talked about the stand-up career. That's actually how I first got to know Rich Sear, was through his stand-up material. As Rich has described, he traveled extensively throughout the Northeast, basically setting up gig after gig after gig. One of the gigs that he performed was in Torrington at the former Performance Hub, and that was so one of the many different places where people could see the stand-up work of Rich Sear. But now, let's talk a little bit about podcasting in general. Tell me about your interest in podcasts.
As I said before, I did radio back in the late 80s, early 90s, all the way up through 97. And it was fun. I had a great time. I made it all. There's a defunct station now, WCCC 106.9.
Yes.
Now it's sold to a... I think it's a Christian station now. So, but at that time, it was one of the biggest rock stations in this area, in the Northeast. And I loved it. And I worked on several AM stations. I had such a great time. I was able to, you know, play some music, do a little talk. And when I got out of that, because I realized that, you know, it's a great hobby, but there's no way I'm going to make a living off of this, I went on to different things. And now I think this is the best time for radio, because there is... Like, you know, you can, let me go back a little bit. When I was doing comedy, somebody heard me and he had a show in Leominster, Mass. It was called Jeff in the Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to have me as a guest. And when I was a guest, he goes, "Oh my God, Rich, I think you would be great addition to the show. I want you on the show every day." I said, "Well, it's kind of tough because I have to work in Connecticut and you're in the morning, prime hours during my work." I said, "But whenever I have a day off, I will definitely go down there." So I was on there for a while. And in the meantime, he was talking about podcast equipment. I said, "Oh, I would love to do my own podcast." He goes, "Well, what's stopping you?" I said, "Well, I don't really know how to set up the equipment." He goes, "I'll take care of that for you." So he had all the equipment. He came down, set it up. And I said, "I love the fact that I can record a show right now and play it, and somebody in Texas or anywhere could hear it, all over the world. It's not just like, you know, I hope somebody can hear this outside the Torrington area, you know, because like I worked at several AM stations. One was in Southington, and I'm not even joking around. If you went down the street, you heard static. So, I mean, the fact that you can make something that is immediate, it could be heard all around the world, and I have plenty to say. So.
Oh, fantastic. Now, one of the shows that you're interested in doing is movie and film and kind of a review show.
Yes.
And what's that called?
It's called Real Time, R-E-E-L, for movies. But back in 2000, I had a public access TV show. My friend and I did it, and that's where the genesis of that title and that show came from. We used to review movies, and we had one of the local movie theaters sponsored us. So we would ask a question or say a line from a movie. If they had the right answer, they would get free tickets to the movie. We had a great time doing it, did it for several years. So now with the, you know, with the advent of podcasting, I decided to bring that show back because I love movies. I love talking about movies, and there's so many movies that, you know, I think would be, you know, I'd love to have a conversation about. So my girlfriend and I decided to start that show back up.
Very nice. So that's The Real Time?
Just Real Time. R-E-E-L, Real Time.
Real Time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Very nice. And so that's going to be one of the programs.
Yeah.
In terms of your other ways of expressing yourself, you have Claw's Corner.
Yes.
Talk to me about Claw's Corner.
All right. Going back to stand-up, I was, because of my cerebral palsy, I have my right side, the hand, is does the muscles don't work as well. So when I was in high school, this goes back to 86, my nickname was the Claw. Like, oh my God, here comes the Claw. Just joking around. So when I started introducing the cerebral palsy into my act, I said, oh yeah, I'm Rich the Claw Sayre, and that stuck. So when I was thinking of a name for a podcast, which this podcast, The Claw's Corner, is going to be similar to this show. It's going to be interviews. And I already have several interviews set up with some pretty good guests. One would be Adrienne Barbeau. People probably remember her from Escape from New York, Maud, Creepshow. I mean, she's been in tons. She was actually the first Rizzo on Broadway for Grease. And then also, there's a movie called The Conjuring, which there's in Monroe, local paranormalists, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Mm-hmm. The movie is based on their life. Well, the first movie that was created was a story that they supposedly investigated in Massachusetts. I met the woman that the story was based on. She gave me her number. She said, let's hit this out of the ballpark. So she's going to do my show. And then I also have several other guests that, because I love going to different movie and comic book conventions, and I meet a lot of different people. And I always say, what's the worst thing you're going to say? No. Surprisingly, a lot of people are saying, yeah, I'll do your show. There's one guy, his name is Daniel Roebuck. The name may not sound familiar, but he's been in everything from Matlock to Walking Dead, The Fugitive, Devil's Rejects. That's just the name of a few that I can remember off my hand. So his wife was there, and I was joking around with them, and she goes, you know what, here, don't even deal with him. Here's my personal number. When you're ready to do the show, give me a call. So these are just three of the guests I have booked so far.
Wow.
And that should be happening very soon.
That's exciting. That's something to look forward to. That's called The Claw's Corner. And then will you be building a website or a Facebook page? Or how will people be able to hear the work that you create? Is it going to be shared through social media, that sort of thing?
It will definitely be shared through social media. The other thing I'm looking for is I want to put it on SoundCloud, iTunes, and whatever else that I can. Like right now, I'm exploring the different options of which sites I can put it on. But right now, I know that it's going to be SoundCloud and iTunes.
Okay.
And fantastic. Through Facebook as well. I'm going to create a Facebook page for that and looking into a website.
Okay. And are there any other programs that you're looking forward to doing on your podcasting? Because it sounds to me like you've got The Claw's Corner, which is your interview show. And since you have a very good rapport with people with whom you converse, that seems like a shoo-in, if you will. Then you have Real Time, which is your interview, which is your review show. Do you have any other programs kind of percolating in the hopper there?
Oh yes, this is probably going to be the most fun show that I do. It's called the Brimstone and Snowflake, because I love talking about what's going on in the world today. And my girlfriend is a little bit of a snowflake. She's kind of sensitive sometimes. And she and I, not in a bad way, but we debate the subjects that are, the topics that are going on during the day. And she has a different opinion than what I do. So I said, let's bring this to the airwaves. I said, what we're doing right now, I think, would be fun and informative too, because there's so many different things happening right now, probably as we're talking, 8 different things that we could be talking about, could have for a show. So that's going to be, I'm the Brimstone, she's a snowflake, and that's going to be the third show. And what I'm thinking of doing, because when I was doing my comedy, because my last name is Sayre, C-Y-R, so I sort of, as a joke, created Seriously, C-Y-R-I-O-U-S-L-Y, Seriously Funny Productions. So I want to maybe create that. Maybe I can even copyright that and have my own little network.
Yeah, well, that sounds fantastic, and that seems like the perfect opportunity as we, you know, began our conversation with, where you described how you had topical things to say, but by the time you got to a mic, it was too late. Well, now since the mic is with you, you're going to be able to have your thoughts get out there in a timely and meaningful way.
Yes.
And it should be a lot of fun as well.
That's
a lot of fun for you to do, but a lot of fun for the audience to hear and enjoy, especially those who are fans of your work.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's probably the most important part, is having fun, because I'm not doing it for a living. I have a job, but the fact that I can just do this on my own time, and, you know, like I said, I've always had a love for radio. I've had a love for comedy. Now I get to combine the two and send it out to all over the world.
Fantastic. Well, we're already at our second break. So when we come back, We're going to have our concluding segment with other things that are on the radar for Rich Sear. Talk a little bit more about your history and your career. So we'll be back in just a few moments with Rich Sear on Nutmeg Chatter. To Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in the studio is Rich Sear. Rich Sear is a stand-up comedian. He is an author. He is a podcaster. He is going to be part of a theater group creating an audio experience called Nutmeg Junction. That's going to be exciting. It's going to be on WAPJ in April of this year. But let's talk a little bit more about just kind of because I'm kind of a literary person myself and I enjoy reading. I understand that you will be part of a book that you are not the author of.
That is correct. I have a friend. His name is Phil Hall, and he's written several books. I think he said he wrote 15 books so far. And he contacted me because he read several of my stories online. And he enjoyed them. And he said, Rich, will you write? I'm writing a book on the Patterson-Gimlin tape. And I said, oh, I already knew what it was. But he said, if you don't know what it is, he gave me a clip of the Bigfoot video. So I'm sure everybody, even if you don't know, everybody's heard of Bigfoot, but there's that classic recording back in the 60s where somebody who looks like a Bigfoot stops, stares at the camera, and then walks into the woods. He wanted my take on that. So I said, all right, I submitted what I thought of the tape and what I thought of why there's such a fascination with the unknown and Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster and other things. And he said, Rich, I love it. It's going to be in my next book. So that's coming out very soon. He said he's in the editing phases right now. So I will definitely keep you and your fans updated when that will be out and when you can read that. And I'm very excited about that and looking forward to what else that might lead to.
So you're writing kind of commentary about it, or did you write a short story about it?
No, this was a commentary. He wanted my opinion of why everybody is so fascinated with the Patterson-Gimlin tape and the unknown. So I just wrote what I think about the tape, why people are fascinated with it, and my take on it, what I think it might be, if it's real, if it's fake. I mean, this is all my opinion. So it's not fiction. It's an opinion piece on Bigfoot.
That's interesting. And actually, that kind of ties in with a lot of the history of your entertainment career, because a lot of people ask you to share your opinions, whether it's going on to a radio station in Leominster, Mass, or whether it's going on to different podcasts, whether it's in the written form. People do come to Rich Sear and say, hey, Rich, do you have a take on this? We want to hear it. And so that's a pretty cool thing, isn't it?
No, it is, because I always have an opinion. I love talking, and I like the fact that people want to hear it. So it's a good combination.
And you know what? It kind of brings me back, I guess, to the very, very first thing that you said, which was you were very shy as a young person, and you had a teacher who helped you reach out and see your potential, and now you're at this point where people are coming to you saying, Rich, we want you to be a part of different things, and so it kind of comes full circle that you now go to different benefits as you have, and you've been a voice and a help to others.
Yes. And I love how everything turned out. You know, 30, actually more than that, I was 78 when I was in fourth grade when that teacher saw the potential in me. So, I mean, the fact from 78 till now, I love where my life ended up. And I look forward to many other ventures in the future. I mean, from like the bands in the past to radio to comedy to writing to podcasting. I mean, it's unlimitless.
Absolutely. Now, before we wrap up, I just want to kind of tie up some of the ends in terms of the performing stand-up. Right now, you are so busy that it seems to me like you're kind of building your network, building your podcasting. So stand-up is kind of the one thing on 2018 that you're not currently doing, but you would do if asked to do like a benefit show or something along those lines.
Most definitely.
Okay, so I just wanted to kind of clarify that. In terms of writing, you're still writing, correct?
Yes, I am currently writing my next story, which hopefully the first draft will be done soon.
Any sneak peeks as to what the subject matter of it is?
This one, I loved Ghost Tours. So this story is, it's sort of semi-autobiographical, like the characters are. A lot of it is based on me,
mm-hmm.
and then the characters in the story go on a ghost tour, and this is where the fiction part comes in. They bring something back with them. It'll be called The Lincoln House Massacre.
Wow, okay. So, and where can they find this written work for now until it is compiled into a book and put on Amazon? Where can they find your written work now?
Oh, it's a great app, a great website. It's called Wattpad, WATTPAD.com. Wattpad.com. All you have to do is type in Rich Cyr, that's CYR.
Okay, and then that's where people can find your written work. And then finally, kind of pulling it full circle as well, the podcasting, this is something that you're building right now. It's kind of like you're building the foundation of a house before you build the house itself. So is there currently a website there or a page that people could go to get updates on when your podcasting shows will be available?
Yes, right. I didn't create a website or a Facebook page for the podcast yet, but if you go on Rich Cyr on Facebook, friend me. I'll be more than happy to friend you and have all the updates there. Or if you also want to go under Rich Cyr, that's R-I-C-H-C-Y-R, comedian. Go on there, and I will have updates on when the podcast will be available. And then from there, I'm creating my own page now, so that should be up very soon. So I'm going to create an author page as well.
Okay.
Keep everything separate so people know where they can find my stories, where they can find my podcast, where they can see me do stand-up comedy. So I'm going to have a lot of pages.
You're going to have a lot of pages. And but obviously, this is 2018 is going to be a year of creating content, creating some work out there. People, it seems to me, are going to be reaching out to you from now and through 2020 saying, hey, we want your commentary on X, Y, and Z because I saw your written work. I saw your podcast work or even possibly hearing some more of your stand-up work. So that sounds very, very possible.
Yes. I said, I am very excited about this year. And I mean, the last several years have been really good creative-wise. And I think this is going to be my best. It's going to be my favorite because I have so many different subjects on the burner, but I have time enough to work on every one instead of like just, you know, doing each one half-baked. Just like, all right, well, let me work on this right now. Like, all right, I could do this comedy show now. All right, let me start writing this story. So I know how to manage my time, and I'm looking forward to many great things happening this year.
Fantastic. So that's Rich Cyr. That's C-Y-R. And the Facebook page is just in general, one more time, if you could.
Yep. It's Rich Cyr, C-Y-R. That's my main page. Or you can go under Rich Cyr Comedian.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today here in Torrington on WAPJ on Nutmeg Chatter.
Thanks a lot, JT.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube royalty-free music, so we thank them for that. Please stay tuned for Counterspin at 3:30, followed by The Hotspot with Darcy at 4 p.m., which is a fantastic program of local music, interviews and more. So thank you for listening to WAPJ. We hope you enjoyed the chat.